All right, John's Gospel and chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 43. We have been preaching on the training of the 12, or what we have called Mission Impossible. And I don't know if it's so much about what I read about those disciples or so much about what I see in the disciples, and I relate to it in myself. It's almost like a Chinese fire drill, the ones that he's chosen and put together. But when I look into the mirror and I think about where I was when he saved me and even where I am today, I realize that it has to be a work of his mercy and his grace to be able to use us for his kingdom's sake. He came into this world to create a gospel. And he did so with a life of perfection, with a death of substitution, a powerful resurrection, and then a holy ascension and intercession on the behalf of sinners and saints. He chose these 12 men and he taught them his word. He led them in his steps. He showed them his love and he promised them his presence and sent them forth in the power of the Spirit. We've noticed a couple of these disciples. We have meditated on Matthew and we saw his reputation. Didn't realize how bad it really was until I began to look at those associations in his life. But thank God for the day when Jesus showed up and the Bible said he saw Matthew. Amen. I'm glad that he's able to see beyond what others see. There wasn't any hope in me, and others realized that. But Jesus was able to see what he was able to do with Matthew. He sees that. I'm glad he does. And then last night we preached on Thomas from the two that is in you. Thomas Didymus, both names meaning twins. And then Jesus told him, said, don't be faithless or full of doubt. And of course the word doubt means to be of a double mind. Meaning he said, Thomas, I can't use you with a double mind. There's a twin within. Double is always trouble. And we're going to have to deal with that Didymus. And of course, Christ is the only answer for the natural man, the carnal man, that fleshly man, that other man, that nature that seems to combat the things of the Spirit of God within us. And at times we seem to be so filled with hope. And then times so filled with doubt. But I'm glad Jesus is able to bring us from the two that we seem to be to the one that he is. And we can operate with a oneness in assurance. Blessed assurance, not a double mind. And Thomas, I'll tell you, of all the thoughts he would ever have, he would never, ever again have two thoughts about the resurrection. He would always be of a single mind. Why? Because the Lord showed up and dealt with the issue. And I'm glad for the times that he shows up in my helplessness while I'm resting and deals with the issue and delivers me into a oneness with him and a oneness with the Father, where I'm not all the time being of a double mind. But tonight I want to go a step further. We'll read these verses here. And I want to emphasize the matter of a tree that we're going to notice in Nathanael's life that seems to have absorbed his time. It has become his world, we're going to notice, and how Jesus pulls Nathanael out of Nathanael's world into Christ's world. And when the Lord saves you and I, he begins that process of pulling us out of our little shelters and out of our little securities and out of our our little worlds, because he realizes that the only way that we're going to be able to minister to this world is we're going to have to operate in the realm of his world. Right. So let's look at this text here, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, and here's another one of them short sermons, come here, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Three things that I want to point out to you tonight concerning this tree, concerning Nathanael, and concerning Christ's working in his life. We're going to emphasize this tree. I want us to notice the significance of this tree. And then we're going to notice the size of this tree. And then we're going to notice the surrender or the swapping of this tree. When I think about the significance of this tree, I think that this day in which Nathanael is alive is probably the most important time in Israel's history. I would even go a step further than that and say it's probably the most important time in the history of mankind. Why? Because that promised seed that God had promised to Eve after the fall in the garden, he said, and he shall bruise the serpent's head. He was speaking of the Christ child. And then all of the prophets down through the ages of the Old Testament, beginning with Moses, told about the coming of Jesus. And now here in chapter number 1, as Philip comes to Nathanael, Jesus is on earth and he is performing his miracles. He is doing a great work for God. He is here for the kingdom's sake. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18, Jesus says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. In other words, Jesus said, I am here. I am sent unto the Father. I am the one that has been prophesied about. And I am doing the work of my Father. I am setting at liberty those that are bound. I'm giving sight to the blind and hearing to those that cannot hear and so on. I'm doing this work. But I want to ask you something. While Jesus is on earth being manifested and doing this tremendous work, where is Nathanael? At this prime hour, we find that Nathanael's not involved in what Christ is doing. He's barely aware of it, if he is at all. Because the scripture tells us that when Philip finds Nathanael, he is occupied with his tree, his fig tree. That's where Philip found him, and that's where Jesus emphasized to him, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree." Now, if you will study the Word of God, you'll find that the fig tree was of great national significance to Israel. The fig tree represented a thing of national pride. It was the national tree of Israel. And every man tried to have a fig tree. It signified his stability, and as I say, it was a thing of pride. The fig tree represented a thing of a personal possession. As soon as you could, when you had your family, you would cultivate you a fig tree that spoke well of you in the community. If you didn't have anything else, you had and possessed a fig tree. And also the fig tree presented a thing of pleasure. It was a place to where you could go out and you could relax under your tree and you could enjoy that tree. It is a place. Now you say, how do you know that? Well, listen to the scriptures and how they emphasize all three of these thoughts. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 25, "And Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine and under his fig tree." Micah 4, verse 4, "But they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid." And of course, there are several other scriptures that emphasize how near and dear the fig tree was to the family, the individual family, as far as Israel is concerned. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this fig tree, but I'm going to tell you, it's just the wrong place to be when Jesus is doing his work in the community, or he is amongst the children of Israel, and God is manifesting himself, and you're under your fig tree. It signifies that Nathanael is wrapped up. Could we say it this way? He is wrapped up in his own little world, under his own little fig tree. We can see the physical aspects of it because the scripture said that was where he was at when Philip found him in verse number 45. And can I say to you that the significance of your own little world, you say, well, what is my little world? It's that thing or that place where you spend most of your time, or where you seem to concentrate and think about the most. That's where you're at. That's where people are going to find you, in the physical aspect of this tree. But not only that, I see in verse number 46, the mental aspect of this tree. "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now, he's questioning what Philip says. But the reason why he can question that is because he's been hemmed up. He's under his fig tree. He's not been out there to witness anything. All he knows is what happens right here. And so therefore he questions what Philip has to say. That is his mental aspect. If you go be on my tree, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I believe what you're saying. You're just out of my realm. And it has a spiritual aspect to it. Because Philip tells him, he says to him, well, why don't you, in verse number 46, why don't you just, if you get out from under this fig tree and come with me, then you will see.
And Jesus says to him again, I saw you, Nathanael, and I know where, you asked me how I know you. I know you because I saw you under your fig tree. And he seems to bring that fig tree to light because it is of significance as to where he is at and what he is doing. Now, again, I say to you, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the fig tree in and of itself, but it is the significance in that while so much is going on in the world around him, it seems as though that he has disconnected him from that world that was around him. He doesn't know what's going on out there. And he really doesn't care about what's going on out there. And he's not looked at the big picture. He doesn't realize what lies beyond his little world. He is consumed as far as his time and his energy with this world. That is the significance of it. In other words, as long as he lays under that fig tree, he's going to be of no account in the ministry in which Christ is occupied and the reason of which he has come and for the sinners who need to be saved and whatever Christ is doing. He has confined himself. He has disconnected himself from the world that was around him. Now let's make application. If we're not careful, it'll be awful easy for us to be consumed with what's happening in our lives, with what's happening down on the job where we're at, what's happening at our house, what's happening with our children. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned with that, but I'm going to tell you something. If that's all you're concerned with, then you're not doing anything to help the world that is beyond your world. And Nathanael, again, I'm not criticizing his tree. I'm just simply saying, while laying under that tree, he seems to indicate that he's not even concerned with what's happening beyond that tree. Oh, well, yeah, but you know, my grandpa and grandma, none of them cared anything for Nazareth. And I've always heard there ain't nothing good coming out of there, so I don't know that this could be so. And he said, well, Nathanael, you're never going to find out the needs that are beyond you and how to help those that are beyond you as long as you're under this fig tree. It is the significance of it. And if we're not careful, even as God's people, we'll find ourselves occupying our little, within the realm of our little world, driving to work, coming from work, watching the ball game, watching this, that, and the other. And really, we're never getting out of the bounds and the boundaries of what concerns us with how we live. You understand what I'm saying? Our world. Our world. But now, I want you to notice, not only do I see the significance of this tree, I notice the size of this tree. I have been to Israel. I've seen the fig tree there, and the fig tree in Israel, as far as size is concerned, is only probably around 15 feet in height, but it has a circumference around it that is pretty broad. And this tree, though it be stubby, not in height, it is short, but yet expands to a good distance. Maybe a pretty good sized tree as far as its growth is concerned. The leaves on it are very dense, so dense that it's dark and sometimes damp under that tree. And you really can't see through the tree into the light or to the sun that is beyond it. And that's why they would go under it to cool themselves off. That is the size, a fairly large tree. But here's what I want to emphasize. Even with its size, though it be a fairly large tree, it is an awful small world. And I don't care what you're involved in your daily routines. And how wide do you think that your world expands? It's still very small when it comes to the needs of the world that is around us and what Christ is wanting to do beyond us. He's under that tree, though it'd be a pretty good size tree. It's not big enough for what Christ wants done. And as long as Nathanael stays under this tree, he'll be locked up in the limitations of his own world and how boring that is. I mean, how much activity can take place under a tree? How much can you know if all you know is what you know and you don't care to know anything else if it doesn't concern you? And that's why he's so limited when Philip approaches him. He doesn't know anything and doesn't care to know anything beyond the figs. Now, if you want to call and talk, if you want to come to him and talk about figs and big figs and what kind of figs and how to fertilize the tree for figs and all that, he'd spend all day with you. But if you're coming to talk to him about something that doesn't concern your little world, he wants to turn it off. What a boring life that is. You know, I think about it. You know, wouldn't it be tragic to live your life? And like I said, I'm not downing what our worlds are made up of if that's not all that we're stuck on. But let's just suppose that all you've ever done is work at the same place, and that's commendable, for 40 or 50 years. But that's all your world. And that's all you want to talk about. And you can't talk about anything else. And when the grand young'uns come over, you want to sit down and tell them about how you worked on that job and who you worked with on that job and how you told that foreman off and how they fired that one. And they tell them stories over and 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 over again. And after a while, you wonder why the grand young'uns don't come. They don't want to hear it. Have you ever been around people like that? It's just, you know, what it just is, 3, 4, 5, 6 things in their lives that happened down through the years. And I got in a fight and I hit him with the right and then I hit him with the left and then an uppercut and then he hit me. We've heard that 99 times. Is that as far as you can go? Could you imagine how boring it would have been to be Nathaniel's grand young'un? Come out here under my tree, son. I want to show you a fig. This is the biggest one we ever seen. Come on, Grandpa. I've been going out there every time I come over here for so many years. I'm sick and tired of it. Is that as far as you can go? Is the limitations of talking about your little world? You see, the truth of the matter is, not only did that fig tree, Not only did it disconnect him from the world that was around him, but it confined him and diminished him to the world that was within him. That's all he could talk about. No doubt, because that's all he knew was what had happened in his world. And boy, isn't that true so many times that it seems as though that all our concerns are about what has happened through the years in our little world. And it seems as though that we're just drawn up into a little, little fig tree. And that's where he's at. He's in his own little environment, as we said. He's in it under his own little fig tree. He is diminished to the world that is within him. And I'm here to tell you, that fig tree, though a pretty good sized tree, it's a cramped place to be if anybody else comes under there. I mean, how many people can you invite under your fig tree? But it's not only a cramped place to be. Do you know there's only one tree that God ever cursed in this world? Jesus cursed. And you know what that tree was? It was the fig tree. It couldn't produce for him. And can I say to you, our little worlds, when we become locked up in them and they become what we're all about, they're not going to have the blessing of God on them because they cannot produce for the kingdom's sake. Nathaniel, this fig tree that you're living under is your little world. And you have become awful small. Now, let me take you to the third and final thought. I notice that this little fig tree becomes his world. It is significant. And it disconnects him from the world that's around him. It diminishes him to the world that is within him. If you'll go back to those verses again, you'll notice that he doesn't have room for a whole lot. In verse 45, he doesn't have room for fulfillment. Even the word of God cannot be fulfilled in his life. He don't have room for it under that tree. He doesn't have room for faith. He doesn't believe that Jesus could come out of Nazareth. He doesn't even have room for fellowship. Here comes Thomas with this great news that Israel's been looking for thousands of years. And he can't even join in. He ought to have said, "Hallelujah! You say Jesus is here? Where is he at? I want to come and see him." But he doesn't have time. He is diminished. But here's what I want to point out to you in verse number 50 and verse number 51. I want you to notice how the Lord is bringing Nathanael to the place to where basically he wants to bring all of us. And you say, well, what is that place? He wants to bring us to the place to where we're willing to swap our little world to be engaged in his world. I see it this way. Is what he's wanting to do with Nathanael, what he does with Nathanael, is he swaps trees with him. Nathanael's going to have to swap trees with Jesus. Because you see, as long as he's under the shadow of the fig tree, there's nothing more going to happen in his life. And Jesus is not going to be able to give him the gospel to proclaim from under the fig tree. But he says to Nathanael in verse number 50, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And he goes on to say in verse 51, "Nathanael, if you'll stay with me and you won't go back to the fig tree, you will see angels ascending and descending." Woo! Nathanael's fixing to experience a world like he's never known. But he ain't going to experience it under a fig tree. He'll have to experience it under the shadow of another tree. I thought about what the songwriter said, "Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring the scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me." Jesus has got a bigger tree. You say, well, how big's his tree? It's big enough for you. It's big enough for me. It's big enough for America. It's big enough for China. It's big enough for any sinner on the globe, anywhere, in any time element, any age. That's a big old cross. And the songwriter said, there's room at the cross for you. There's no room for you under the... There's no room for all your family under the fig tree. There's no room for your community under the fig tree. There's not enough in your fig tree to share with those that are around you. And you can't stretch your fig tree. It's only going to get so big. But thank God Calvary is big enough for us all. And oh, what you can see under that tree. Now, I talked a while ago in a humorous way as to if you're locked up in your own little world, how confined your illustration is going to be, because You'll have to do a whole lot of repeating because it don't go far beyond that. And that's all right. Don't misunderstand me. That's all right. We all have experiences. But what makes it better? Get out from under that fig tree and scoot under the big tree. You see, what's going to have to happen? He has disconnected himself from the world around him. He has diminished himself to the world that is within him. And Christ is going to swap trees with him so he can be dedicated to the world that is beyond him.
He said, Nat, you ain't seen nothing yet. Angels ascending and descending. What a world. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that?
Nathaniel's crawled out from under the fig tree. He didn't realize that that'll be the probably the last time he'll have any time to get under it. And he runs over there, and Jesus said, "Oh, Nathaniel, you think this is something?" He said, "Boy, you follow me, and you'll see some things." Now, that first demonstration of that first man, I mean, how much can a man who lays under a fig tree talk about? How many experiences can he have? He's very limited. But just imagine with me now. Nathaniel's operating in the Lord's realm, in his ministry, in his world, and how vast it is. And can you imagine Nathaniel when he stood there that day and Jesus called Lazarus from the grave and said, "Lazarus, come forth!" I'd like to see it on Nathaniel's eyes, wouldn't you?
Whoa! Did you see that? I never imagined anything like that. I can't believe it.
And can you see him when they go over there to that maniac of Gadara and Jesus casts the demon out of him and he's clothed and in his right mind, and Nathaniel said, "Man, I didn't know this could happen." And then he's with the disciples when the storms come and Jesus stands on the side of the ship and says, "Peace be still," and the winds lay down, the winds and the waters are calm. And he said, "Whoa, what manner of man is this?" And he's with them as he feeds 5,000 men besides their children and the wives, probably 20,000, 25,000 people. And he sees that. And then he stops back by the house. And the wife said, "Nathaniel, your tree is going to pot. His limbs are dying on it. You're going to have to do something with it." He said, No, I ain't got time for that tree no more. I'm operating under the shadow of another tree." Now, I don't know about you, but when I get old, I don't just want to pull my kids up in my lap and say, "Look here how many meetings I preached, youngins, my grand youngins. Grandpa, you told me that 1,000 times." I don't just want to sit there and talk about how many churches I've been in and how many. But I don't know, that's all right. That's a blessing. That's good. I want to be able to say, "Youngins, you ought to have been there when I saw the hand of the Lord move." Can you imagine? Can you imagine Nathaniel's grand youngin saying, "Grandpa, tell us that story again where he raised the dead. Would you tell us that? Did you say he cried?" And then he said, "Yeah, son, I was there. I saw it." And he'd still have that thunder in his soul. And he'd still have that vibrancy within his spirit because he had been there and he could tell that story over and over again with enthusiasm. You know why? Because he was able to experience it. And boy, the thing that I love about traveling across the country doing the Lord's work is I'm just waiting on the next thing that he's going to do that I get to be a part of. And then I can go tell somebody else, guess what happened? Operating under his tree. Nathaniel's a different man, but he's a different man because Christ has pulled him out of his little environment and had him operate in a big, big. Let me say it this way in closing. Jesus left his world to come into our world, didn't he? So that he might pull us out of our little world and put us into his world. So that we could be of value to this world. And the ultimate goal for Nathan, for Nathaniel, was to get him to where he could use him to minister to a lost and dying world that didn't even have a fig tree. And thank God Nathaniel became that ambassador of another tree, spreading the gospel that God had put in his heart. And I want to encourage you, children, let's not. And it's possible for all of us, no matter where we're at, let's not get locked up in our world. Let him pull us into his world so that we can be of value to people down the road, the people across the road, the people we run into in town, the people that are in the rest homes, and the people that are in the hospitals, so that we can have stories to tell as to what God has done in places he has taken us. And how real and fresh life will be. I preach every year, and I'll close with this, in a church down in Dallas, Georgia. And there's a lady in that church that's in her, I guess, early 90s, 91, 92, but my goodness. They got a flight of steps, probably 8 or 10 steps going up into that church. And she just, that's the way she goes up them steps. My wife tried to say, when we first time was there, I guess, thought she'd need to help her down the steps. She said, oh, no. She just bounced down the steps. I wondered what an 90-year-old woman did during the day. So it was about Tuesday, and she was down there in front. She's the life of that church, or part of it, big part of it. And I said to her, sister, what'd you do today? Oh, she just lit up. She said, I went by to visit some old folks. She said there's 2 or 3 of those places around here. And said, the Lord's put it in my heart to go, and said, they don't even have to know I'm there. Said, what I do is I just go and I sit down beside their bed and I read the scripture. And she drives herself everywhere. She said, and she leaned over and she said, I do that because one of these days I'll probably get old. That's what she said. Little old kids draw to her like flies. Like as she comes in there, they just, and the preacher, that I mean, you just can't help it. Everybody just wants to be around her. Why? Because there's so much life. It's shooting out of her. You know why? Because she hadn't lived 90 years under a fig tree. My grand youngins don't never come visit me. I don't blame them. All you got to talk about is a green leaf and a fig. How many miles you've traveled across the country and how many sermons you've preached. Ain't that all boring? When Nathaniel wasn't stuck in that little old hole, he saw angels ascending and descending. He saw the ascension of the Lord. He saw the day of Pentecost. He saw 3,000 souls saved. He saw 4,000 souls saved. He saw a mighty work of God. that you could have wrote 10,000 books about. I guess we could say it this way. From your world to his world. He has left his world to come into our world, to bring us into his world so that we could be of value to this world. So what do you expect to happen to Nathaniel's fig tree? I don't know. He probably don't know. Because it really didn't matter. Really didn't matter.